This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 113, sponsored by Jim Hanley's Universe and the Netflix. And this time we are live from Jim Hanley's Universe. Woo! Your enthusiasm flatters us.
Hey, Ron from iFanboy here. Just wanted to wish everybody a happy new year and to apologize for the audio quality on this week's show. We recorded the show live at Jim Hanley's Universe in New York City and had a great time, but unfortunately about 2.5 minutes into the show, there's some electrical interference that we weren't aware of until the recording had finished. We didn't want to not release this because so many great people came down to watch the show live, and we wanted to share that with the rest of the audience. So, if you can please accept our apologies and bear with the noise, it's a pretty good show. If you just want to press stop and tune in next week, I wouldn't blame you either. So for those who are going to stick through it, enjoy the show, have a happy new year, and thank you for tuning in. And now, iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 113.
Hey, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 113. I am Josh.
And I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And here's everyone else. Hey!
And
The sounds of Jim Hanley's Universe on a Friday night, shortly before New Year's Eve.
Unfortunately, on the same day that books came out.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people here who don't know what's going on.
Because we're standing in front of the manga titles, which are more popular than the superhero titles. iFanboy.com is a website where we all started because we like comics. We read them every week. We read all our books and then pick the one that's best. And then that is written up as a review that goes up on the website hours ago.
Yes.
Thank God you weren't working today.
I know. Dodged a bullet on that.
Then we come here on the podcast and we talk about it, usually by ourselves, but we like friends too. Yeah. Before we get started, we are going to talk about this week's books, which many of you probably haven't had a chance to read yet. So unlike most weeks, I think we'll try to be a little more careful.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to spoil them, but it's kind of hard not to. So if we start talking about something you haven't read and you care about, just yell, say stop or something, and we'll try to stop.
It's a fun audience participation.
But there's one book that we're not going to respect that, unfortunately. But not the pick of the week, though. The pick of the week was Green Lantern number 26. And like Josh mentioned, I was lucky enough to be home for the holidays and was able to run to the store at 11 a.m. and get my books and read them.
Finished running here.
Yes, I finally finished running here. Yeah, yeah. It was the last couple of miles was tough. But, I got about 20 books this week. It was a big week. And for those of you who haven't read your books yet, then you probably got a lot of them too. And it was an okay week. There was a lot of, it's kind of the end of the year, kind of just getting everything out, which always happens the last week of the year. I was surprised to see Green Lantern number 26 actually ship. Because Green Lantern number 25, the big finale to the Sinestro War.
It was like yesterday.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks ago. So I was excited to see Green Lantern 26. But usually, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but the issue after a big event is normally a fill-in. The creative team kind of is tired. They let somebody else draw it or whatever. And it doesn't carry the same momentum as the big event. Not so in this case. Jeff Johns continued to write stories that make the Green Lantern matter. We were talking earlier this year that Green Lantern was kind of wavering. It wasn't really good. It didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But they started that Sinestro Corps thing and the Sinestro War, and this was the event of the year, if you ask me. It was the one that quietly that nobody really – it's kind of snuck up on all of us. And it came to the conclusion 2 weeks ago, and it was exciting to see – As the police said, now shut us down. It was exciting to see that
none of you saw anything.
It was exciting to see the momentum continue into issue 26 and to see that there are ramifications to what just happened. And it's funny because 2 weeks ago when we were talking about it, there was a lot of questioning whether or not, you know, Sinestro won or the Green Lanterns won. While it seems as if the Green Lanterns won the victory, Sinestro achieved what he was looking for, to instill fear in the universe and make the Green Lanterns use lethal force.
Well, he kind of spelled out any doubt you may have had about what the point of the whole thing was.
Finally, in this issue.
So we were right.
Yes, basically. We were.
That's
so
what we're telling. Yeah.
So. And what we also see is that we find out that the Guardians of Greenland, Guardians of Oa, the guys who run Green Lantern, have introduced 10 new laws. We know the first one is use of lethal force. And the second one relates to what is introduced in this issue, which are the Alpha Lanterns, which to me appears like they're going to be some sort of internal affairs unit. So for Lanterns who use lethal force, then this is going to police the Green Lanterns. So that's kind of a cool aspect. But then also, you know, it takes one issue to see the first skirmish between the Green Lanterns and some of the Sinestro Corps. Somebody gets killed. And you kind of see how the tone is going to be for hopefully the next year.
They weren't so much killed as murdered.
He surrendered, yeah. But,
and then he was killed.
And he was, yeah, so murdered.
Which it's is, like they didn't really have any rules. Like, you may kill. Yeah. And they never said, well,
in what
not
context?
Always. Or not without, you know. So they hadn't really set up any framework for it. And of course, aliens being like they are.
I was surprised that it was, what's his name, Abansur?
Amansur.
Amansur's son. Which I thought was a great character when they introduced him earlier this year. And now he's dead. So I guess he served his purpose.
But it's comics.
It's comics, yeah.
You know what? I don't think you mentioned this in your review, but there was a couple of pages in here with focusing on Jon Stewart. And previously I've been of the mind that there are too many Green Lanterns on Earth. There's just like...
There are four now.
There's way too many.
Yeah.
And what he's doing here is he's creating a character for Jon Stewart that... It's funny because Jeff Johns is this thing where he spells out... Like, almost literally, where
what
a lot of
about.
People hint at it, he just goes, I'm like this. And it doesn't suck. And it should suck, so I don't know why, but basically, like, he's got Jon Stewart, who, by the way, we all need to get them to change his haircut still. I want to start
harping on
petition.
The haircut. Really? What's wrong with
his hair like that anymore? No one. It's like Lawrence Taylor in the movie.
That's rough.
You know which one?
Any Given Sunday.
Thank you.
I was going to say the Adam Sandler movie.
Why?
Because he was in that one.
Anyway, so Jon Stewart is sitting there sort of talking about what he's like as opposed to what Hal's like. And it was just a really neat
compact moment that explained why that character is important and why you need to have all of them. I assume there are four Earth Green Lanterns because so much wackiness goes down here that they get more.
I think he's going to count Alan Scott. He's not a Green Lantern Corps, but he's still a Green Lantern.
So. Yeah, he's not technically one of the Guardians.
He shares a moniker. Yeah.
But no, it's interesting because, I mean, I don't read Green Lantern Corps, but I believe Guy Gardner is a big part of Green Lantern Corps, right. So he's off doing the training thing. I don't really know what Kyle's supposed to be doing because he's in several places at once.
Kyle is just counting time at this point, I think. They're just waiting for the time when they can kill him.
Excuse to kill Kyle, hopefully. But all in all, it was really, really good. I thought the Sinestro explaining what he did. And then,
it was a great scene.
And then pulling back at Hal Jordan saying, oh, well, actually, you're on death row. Which I thought was a nice little kind of angle, and I mean, essentially, it amazed me that in the span of 1 year, Geoff Johns was able to, like I said, make Green Lantern matter again. And it's funny because when I got, and I mentioned this in the review on iFanboy.com that I wrote a few hours ago, when I got into DC Comics, I was really drawn to the Flash and Green Lantern for some reason. Those are the two characters that I picked up on, not so much Batman or Superman, but Green Lantern and Flash. And Flash, I don't know if anybody is reading it, but it's sucking wind right now. So it's kind of nice that Green Lantern is not sucking wind anymore. Is the book that I can bolster my enjoyment of DC on. So I was pleased to see that. And I was furthermore pleased to see Mike McCone on pencils. And I don't know if anybody's a fan of Mike McCone, but I remember his work that he did Marvel when he was on Exiles, I think, stuff like that. I just loved it. And then he kind of went away. And then he did something recently. I think it was a Countdown issue, or maybe a 52 issue. I was like, Mike McCone!
Just, you see him randomly on issues here and there, but nothing regular.
He's definitely, I looked in the solicits, he's definitely at least on this arc, and I'm hoping maybe he's on for the next year. Yeah. Not to knock Ivan Reis or anything, but...
I like this clean style.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Because his figures are really good, and the faces are expressions.
If you look, Hal Jordan actually has a different build than Jon Stewart, who has a different build than the other people, which is always nice to see them sort of trying.
What's interesting, that I think like 7 people inked it, though. But that's just kind of technical. Yeah, but there was a lot of names on it. So. Yeah, whatever it takes.
Well, it came out 2 weeks after
exactly.
The last issue.
Something like that.
All hands on deck.
Yeah. So anyway, so Green Lantern number 26, if you haven't checked it out, now could be a good jumping on point. It just ended the big kind of war type thing, which will probably be collected and trade in a matter of weeks if you're not reading it. But Green Lantern is just a lot of fun, very cosmic, very, you know, it's Green Lantern. It's Green Lantern done right.
Yes, so. Which we haven't seen in a good long while.
Yes, so I enjoyed it. That was my pick. So, the last pick of the year.
But I know it wasn't the pick of the week.
It almost was. I totally
just to mess with people. Okay, this is a warning for anybody listening. Do you know what happened in Amazing Spider-Man for the most part?
Did anybody read it?
Well, the second question, does anybody care anymore?
Okay, so you're not going to.
Amazing Spider-Man, probably the biggest book this week. Amazing Spider-Man number 545. The last chapter of The One More Day. They got it in by the end of the year. I
was impressed.
Impressed. Yeah. Geez. So
8 months.
So what'd you think? What happened?
What we thought would happen.
What we said would happen in the summer.
Every rumor was correct then, basically.
Yeah. A bunch of different podcasts heard a bunch of different rumors. I believe Jonathan at Geekscape was running around to San Diego, kind of yelling it. And but we heard that Mephisto was going to come, make him a deal, and that he was going to take it and was going to undo the marriage. And we all saw it coming a mile away, and it happened. So. I don't know what else to really say.
Well, you know what's funny about this is that I don't buy this book. The last book I bought was probably 6-8 months ago, and the last thing that I saw was a pair of crosshairs on Aunt May's head. So I'm looking through this book, and I see that they've been sucked back into the real world, and there's a pool of blood on the floor. And I looked at Connor, and I said, is this from when Aunt May got shot? He said, yeah, so this has been like, what, 14, 15 minutes since that book I read 8 months ago? Seriously? And he's like, yeah, that's the problem. Well, I haven't been reading this, but I read this issue and I followed up, and there was sort of a lot of things that didn't make sense. Now, I think that overall, at the end of the whole thing, they're going to be better off, probably. But they went through this whole thing, and I don't know why. Because it doesn't make sense, for one thing. Okay. Spider-Man is the good guy. He's the consummate Marvel good guy. He's the one who does what he does because it's right and he has to do it. Who is the person least likely to make a deal with the devil?
Spider-Man?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So right there, that didn't matter.
Well, even more so, and you know, like just the fact that the deal itself, which is for those who aren't reading it, the deal was is that Mephisto came and said, I'll save your aunt, she'll be fine, and I want to take your love, I want to take your marriage away. And the funny thing is when Connor and I were out to dinner last night, we were talking about this, and like, no married man would do that. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of thing, you know, like...
Nor would Aunt May.
Aunt May would not be happy with this decision.
Exactly.
If she was aware of it, she would wake up and smack Peter in the face.
Exactly, exactly.
She's had a long life, she's had a happy life. She would tell Peter to be happy with his wife and live.
And on top of that, Mary Jane, who basically is the catalyst to convince Peter into doing it in this issue, goes along with it too, which no woman would do. I mean, you know, like,
I'm not going to make any sweeping generalizations about females.
But, like, it was interesting because early on she was saying, you know, maybe it's May's time, maybe we should let her go. And I was like, thank you, yes, that's what the conversations would be happening. And then for some reason, and then, of course, the out happens where Mary Jane seems to have struck a deal with Mephisto. She whispers something in his ear that we don't know what she said. So there's the back door for those playing at home. And somehow Mary Jane goes along with it. And
speaking of back doors, so that whole unmasking thing, they said that doesn't matter anymore. So everything that everybody's ever complained about Marvel doing stories that don't matter, and not using that huge thing to make any stories out of, they're not going to do any stories with that. So that's gone.
And then furthermore, the thing that I've been hyper about is that, and that you guys are sick of hearing it, but if you look on the last page, it shows them, you know, like kind of what happens is, so Spider-Man wakes up from his last day with Mary Jane, and he's living with Aunt May, everything's fine, he puts his bike helmet on, and he bikes to a party, and now Harry Osborn is back. So that's the big kind of reveal that Harry's back. And it's, so he's kind of being reunited with his friends, and they kind of, you know, kind of do a toast to a brand new day, which is the whole impetus for next year. And they all kind of raise their hands up. And if you look, one hand has a little kind of gray thing right by the wrist, and that's a web shooter, which means now the organic web shooters and the whole integration of the movie is undone. So again, something that everybody made a big deal about 4 or 5 years ago about, you know, why are they doing this? And they say, no, it'll be good stories and stuff like that, is now just enough. Just, you know. So there are two schools of thought, is that this is Age of Apocalypse temporary, and something will happen and the back door will be triggered and we'll go back to everybody knows, or that this is the new status quo.
Well, the good news is you don't know, because clearly they don't.
Right.
They'll do whatever.
And the ironic thing is that I'm now buying Amazing Spider-Man every week.
Everybody is. This is the genius thing about Joe Quesada, is that he realized it doesn't really matter if the story's very good. If he does the thing that inflames the most people, everyone will buy it. I haven't seen anybody. Everybody's, oh, this sucks. I'm totally on for the next one. Like, they're there. You know, and I can see how going forward, but it feels a little to me like maybe you can't go home again. Like, they're going to go back and be like, we'll make Spider-Man like he was in the 70s. Well,
and
what happens when somebody comes back to something they've been away from for a long time, you know, and it's supposed to be great, just like it used to be? It never is.
And then the turn the knife in the back was they reprinted the wedding issue in the back, which is like, that's just pouring salt on the wound. That was just like, it was like, oh, this is, you know, because I'd like to marry. I mean,
okay,
like,
that
be
being said, it wasn't a bad issue. No, I mean, like, it was pretty well written. I thought it was kind of interesting. I liked the Mephisto character. I liked – there was not a bit of it. It was just a lot of sort of weeping and hugging.
Yeah. Did you notice the visual change at the end?
Yeah. I thought because what happens is in the first half of it, it's Joe Quesada super hyper-rendering every tons of lines and scratchy bits. And
colored differently.
Yeah, and then in the end, like, it goes to very single line, you know –
classic.
Yeah, just much more simple. Which I guess is the point. Yeah. I actually like that style a lot.
Yeah, no, I mean, the New Day aspect of it, I like the look of that sequence.
Peter's haircut gets drastically better. I've got a whole haircut thing going on.
He still also does hair. Yeah. It's an add-on. It's a value add.
Yeah.
So.
I'm on record being in favor of losing the marriage. I mean, I've talked about it a lot. We've had this discussion on the show a lot. But the way they did this was so ham-fisted, and then the delays, and there's such a bad feeling from it now that I feel like it's been – my excitement for it has waned considerably.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, because, you know, Josh was saying that it was looks good and it was good and everything, and I can debate that either way, but I would have liked to have read this in October,
right,
when it was supposed to come out. And that's the thing that kind of stings about it, you know, is the fact that, you know, it took so long.
I think it's funny that their editor-in-chief cost them how many issues per month for that many months. I mean, like, think of how – they probably sell a ton of Spider-Man issues. They were supposed to have 3 a month for how many months back, you know. That's all the money that Marvel have lost and retailers have lost because those books aren't on the shelf.
Right.
In a year that Spider-Man 3 was the biggest movie ever, maybe, something.
It's like, that is. But it's also convenient that they can start next year, though, fresh, though. So it kind of works out.
I mean, that part, I can't really argue with that part. I don't like how they got there. Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What do I care? I don't buy the book.
What? are you going to? Are you going to read the new one?
No.
You're not?
Nope.
McNiven? Jimenez?
Yeah.
Bob Gale?
When was it good last time?
Doc Brown's going to be it.
Yeah, let me know about it later.
So, I don't know. But it's interesting. I'm still torn in it. I'm just glad the cover's got a lot less messy on this issue. So.
Josh, what would you have picked if you had to choose?
Well, I've got the next two books we're going to talk about. I'm totally torn between because Captain America 33. This is one I'm not. We're going to try not to blow it completely. Although, if you saw what's coming,
if you read previews, you know what's coming.
Yeah. This one, when I was reading it, I kept going, ooh, fun, and I was laughing, and it was a ton of fun to read. Basically, it's a big fight between Bucky and Iron Man. And what I really liked about it was that there were stakes, whereas I kind of didn't know who was going to win. I felt like there was at least a sense of danger, or you know, for one of the characters or either of them at any time. And it was kind of a fair fight. Like at one point, Iron Man's basically like, you can't even. Oh wait, you can. You know, like it was a good fight. That was a lot of fun.
I liked when I guess Bucky's arm was attached at one point, and that was awesome. It was very Sam Raimi-esque when the arm just starts attacking people.
That was when I started giggling. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
it was the march of Bucky's robot arm. I mean, every issue of this has been good, but this one was like very.
This is one of the better ones in a while.
Yes.
We've had that malaise where it's been so good every time that you expect it, so it doesn't surprise you. But this one surprised me in that it was exciting, it was fun. The ending was we've known it's coming, but it was still at the end of it. I was like, oh, the next one. When is the next one coming?
Yeah, you know? It's very much like you get to the last page and you go, God, I hope that's not the last page. It is crap.
Yeah.
Oh, that made a noise.
It,
yeah, sorry about that.
No, it was really good, but I mean, I didn't wrestle with it that much to make it the pick or not, because I felt as if this was the prelude to the next really good thing.
I think people have been waiting for how long for not Batman, for Winter Soldier to fight Iron Man.
And he does that all the time.
Right. I mean, this is a cathartic moment where somebody finally punched Tony Stark.
And it just kind of fell into place. I mean, like it has to, but like at the end when Tony makes the deal, to get it out there. I mean, I'm guessing that Bucky's going to take on the Captain America mantle. You know, so that's where it's going to get to.
Well, that's shocking.
And so like that my one problem was that scene was we kind of go there after he makes the offer and Bucky's just like, all right, we do it on my terms and this and then like, fine. It just seemed kind of simple.
Because Tony's wanted this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going
to
agree to it.
And this is like, we can sit here and tell you some of those things happen, but this, just like the death of Captain America, is really more about the ride. Like, I was pissed off. I was like, oh, they ruined the death of Captain America. It happened on the second page, so it wasn't like it really wrecked my book. This is the same thing, where you're reading through it, and it's about the character moments and going through it and the story as it progresses. And sort of what that feels like, which as opposed to there's a big moment, that's really all you're waiting for.
And that's the thing about, especially a lot of the Brubakers, I think, run, entire run of Captain America, is that, like, I came on it a bit late after Winter Soldier was introduced and Bucky was brought back, and it really, knowing what happens doesn't really matter. It's reading it is really enjoyable, so that you can know what happened on the last page, and you can still get, it's still one of the best comic books out there. Like, you know, it's not kind of like the big, you know, Vader, Luke's father kind of, you know, reveal type
thing. Yeah, it's just, no, it's
not
about that.
There's an elegance to the way the story unfolds that is not unlike no other comic out there. So,
also arm fights,
arm
fights,
awesome. The arm fight rules. So,
then I think this probably would have been my pick had I had the chance. But Jonathan Hickman, who you may know from the Nightly News, which was a 6-issue mini that came from Image.
Four, six, eight. Miniseries.
It's a creator-owned series. It's 4-issue mini from Image Comics, and it's very complicated to explain. I'm going to try.
Well, it's a true sci-fi book.
It's a sci-fi book, and it's using... It's set in the future, in a world that's not that different from our own. It could very well be our own future, and technology comes into play, and using technology to shape the world. Okay, that's the sort of larger thing. What it is I think it's
I was
about,
really curious how someone was going to explain this.
It's so, about 50 years in the future, and the Catholic Church has been investing in scientific technology, and they invented the time machine. So they have to decide if they want to go and send back a force of modern soldiers and people into any time in the past to solidify their grasp on the world going forward. And so it's about the decision to make that. There are a lot of words in this book.
It's very, very wordy.
Extremely. But yeah. What happens is you pick it up and you start reading it. About 4 pages in, you go, I don't know what is going on. And then all of a sudden it clicks and you're like, oh, this is a big, huge sci-fi kind of story. and it's really well thought out.
But what I thought was real, I was very, very impressed by it. And this was nearly the pick of the week because it was just something I was really excited about. But I want to see it progress to issue two or three or so to see how it goes.
Two or three gets you to the end.
Well, yeah, no, I know. Well, four. It's a four issue miniseries. So, but what I thought was really interesting was that it has the biblical aspect. Mm-hmm. It also has the science fiction time travel aspect. But then this also has the kind of like almost more like, you know, losers-esque kind of team.
I'm not going to tell you when it happens. Yeah. There's a great moment in this book where everything goes like that, and you go, it's going to be like this. And all of us are like, it was exciting before that, and now like this, like he keeps juking the stakes.
I think I heard you yelp when you read it.
I did. I yelped.
Now, it's important to note that this isn't like any, I mean, if you didn't read Nightly News and you pick up Pax Romana, this isn't like any comic book out there. Jonathan Hickman uses a lot of graphic design as opposed and like kind of non-standard comic techniques in terms of layouts and stuff like that.
It's not unlike a Brian Wood comic.
I could see it related to that. I saw a progression in the work that he did in Nightly News to this one, mainly within a lot of the layouts and the coloring and stuff like that. But like, not to be too highfalutin, but like this could be the future of comics. Like this is the kind of thing where and I missed the Nightly News when it came out. I got it in trade. Yeah. So and we all did it. We collectively missed the boat on it.
We all bought the first issue.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, but I didn't.
I did, and you read mine.
Okay. Anyway.
No, I didn't because you hated it.
I didn't.
And so I didn't read yours.
We're gonna go back to the archives. You keep saying I hated it, but
hate it. You just
I liked it, but I didn't love it.
And whatever was going on that week when you said it, I was like, well, then I don't have time for it.
Yeah. Well, it turns out it was really freaking good. If you haven't read Nightly News, pick it up because it's really good.
It almost doesn't have panels.
It doesn't. No,
it's got a few, but like, there's a lot of dialogue.
Cinematic.
It's really well written.
Yeah.
It was an excellent book, and for the $3.50. It was easily the most meaty thing that I've read this week or even for the past month or so. It was just a lot of book. And
we kind of pulled the Terry Moore Bendis couple pages where it was just dialogue.
But it was
like a script, but it totally didn't stop the flow at all.
No.
It was great.
Great dialogue. Yeah. I mean, really good dialogue. And you really get a feel for a bunch of different types of characters, and I don't know what's going to happen in a good way.
Yeah, it was good. Awesome. So if you're looking for a new book, if you want something a little different, Pax Romana, Jonathan Hickman, you're in the store, buy it. Give it a shot. So, and speaking of which, we are in Jim Hanley's universe, and we want to thank them for sponsoring the podcast. As the folks here in the store probably know, it's one of the country's best and most progressive comic book stores. They've got superhero books, indie books, manga, minis. So when you're in New York, head over to Jim Hanley's Universe, where art and literature meet. They've got two locations. The first one's on 33rd Street in the Empire State Building, where we are right now. And their other one is at 325 New Grove Lane in Staten Island.
We've never been.
We don't go to Staten Island. No offense to people from Staten Island. I'm sorry, we do this every time. I'm sorry, yeah. Anyway, so when you come in the store and you purchase something, tell them my fanboy sent you, and you can visit them on the web at jhuniverse.com or go to myspace.com/JimHanley's Universe. Friend them, be their friend. They're very nice people, very polite, and they help you with all your comic needs. So.
Okay. So Ron, I saw that you put this on here, and I was like, oh, I totally wouldn't have thought that you would talk about X-Men again.
Not the X-Men, but this is, it's the Messiah Complex update. It's like a segment. It's like, I need like the ticker.
No, I'm sure there's more people who care about it than not.
Well, this is written by Mike Carey, your buddy.
I don't read his superhero work.
I know, and he probably breaks his heart.
I'm guessing he... I'm sorry, Mike. Listen.
Anyway, so Messiah Complex. Is anybody reading Messiah Complex? Are you guys enjoying this? Or have a little...
One person.
Wow, two people. I thought it was a bigger seller. I'm right.
But, you're reading it.
Yeah.
And we've kind of... The past couple issues, we've been concerned...
This has been one of the better ones in a while.
Yes.
In about a month.
Yeah. Because stuff finally progressed,
yep.
another kind of segment almost.
I have a question. You talk generally about it, and I have a question about what happened.
Well, it's the aftermath of the battle with Cable and Lady Deathstrike and her team, and Caliban's dead, and Cable got away with the baby, and so they're trying to get in touch with the baby. And one of the new X-Men turns Cerebra back on, and then we also go into the future, and we see where Jamie Madrox and Layla are getting processed through the mutant camp. And what I thought was really interesting was they get kind of go through, it's kind of like a very prison-esque scene where they get stripped naked and they get cleaned and then head shaved, and then a dude comes in and tattoos Jamie Madrox, and as he's doing it, I was like, no, no way, and the cover kind of gave it away
too.
That's
what I was gonna ask.
And I was like, oh, and it was the M tattoo like Bishop has, which was really interesting because they haven't really visited Bishop's timeline in years.
How much do we know about Bishop's future?
We know, well, what we knew about Bishop's future was that there was some level,
Well, now he wants it.
Yeah, a little warning next time. Yeah.
Wait, are you suggesting that Bishop is a Madrox dude?
No. All the mutants
that's
are
not interesting.
Read the book. That would be cool. How did you get that?
You said well,
all the mutants are tattooed with an MS marking.
Yeah, in Bishop's future.
Filthy mutants, that's why.
In Bishop's future.
You never know where they are.
In Bishop's future.
And.
In Bishop's future, he is like a cop. He's one of the XSE. I forget.
Do we know he's not lying?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know. But he had a uniform. He hit all the dudes with him. It seems like
I can go up to 42nd Street and uniform right now. Do we know?
No, we don't. We don't know that.
Is that the uniform district?
Yes.
Uniform district.
It's between 9th and 10th.
So, New York City joke.
So we don't know that he was lying, but so we see in the future now that all the mutants in this camp all have the M tattoo, which makes you think that maybe it's Bishop.
Well, because
future.
then the very next page is Bishop.
Yeah. Then what happens is that comes back to our time, and there's this baby, and I don't know what the baby's the first mutant, but we still don't know why
the first mutant.
The new first new mutant. Like, we don't know who the baby will be. Cable's trying to protect it. Cable's from the future. Maybe he knows something about the baby. All that kind of stuff. Bishop is also from the future. Maybe he knows too. All these diverging timelines. But basically, Bishop sneaks up and shoots Cable. And Forge, which
were you upset?
I was very upset. I love Forge. The whole Eagle Plaza in Dallas was awesome. When Cable drove the truck into Eagle Plaza, that was great. Anyway, and it ends with Bishop holding the gun pointed at the baby. So you assume he's going to kill the baby. So his eyes are kind of blurry, which makes me wonder if he's not possessed.
Is he a Skrull?
He could be a Skrull. No, I don't know if he's a Skrull. But, so it's opened up a whole new set of questions as to what, you know, how is this tie into Bishop's future? How is he involved? And if this is the last part of the chat, the last part of the series, then I guess we'll find out. But
this is 12 issues? 9? 12.
This is chapter 9 of 13.
Of 13.
13, yeah. So
there's a long way to go.
Well, 4 issues.
There's a long way to go.
Yeah, that's a month.
It's a quarter of the series.
Ron counted on his fingers.
Just another month, that's all. But it was good. And Bacciolo's art didn't bother me.
Yeah.
It didn't upset me. So, because last time it made me cry.
The whole time we've had Countdown, the beginning started with Ray Palmer is important somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow.
We haven't talked about Countdown in a long time.
Since I dropped the book.
Yes.
You stay over there for now.
Yeah. All right.
This is the book. I don't like the book.
I shouldn't even talk to you guys.
Come on. They brought in an HR guy earlier, and I had to have a meeting with him.
2 months severance should be okay.
Yeah.
Nothing.
2 times 0 is 0. So, Countdown, we finally get Ray Palmer. We haven't seen Ray Palmer the entire time.
Finally.
Right.
I mean, from the beginning of Countdown, it was the search for Ray Palmer.
Found him.
And if you ask me, it took too long to get to him.
Yeah.
Because once it got to him, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Ray Palmer's been living on Earth 51, which is, like, closest to the DC Earth. But there's no... The JLA wiped out all crimes. So nothing to do but relax.
So they all retired.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Ralph Dibny writes mysteries.
That sounds like a great place to be.
Yeah, and that's why. And his wife wasn't crazy and didn't kill anybody.
Uh-huh.
So he liked that.
Yeah, and Barry was alive. I mean, everybody was there, and so hanging out around the fire. And
Zatanna was chubby.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting.
Well, she had time to eat.
Right, yeah, no, I know. It was like, it's interesting to take a different look for her. Yeah. You know,
So then, of course, in the monitor and Kyle and Jason Todd and Donna show up and say, you gotta leave.
Right.
And then he explains what's been happening, which he doesn't really explain, but sort of...
Enough. Explains enough.
Well, he doesn't say what the big... Why?
Yeah, he gets to Earth 51 and he finds out that himself in Earth 51 has been working on something and he needs to continue that work and it has something to do with the multiverse, blah, blah, blah. And he watched himself die, so he felt as if he had to replace himself and finish the work. But also he was kind of liking it there.
Yeah, well, yeah. Why wouldn't he?
Right, exactly. But then, so it ends with the monitor about the killing.
You tell the end of every book.
I know, I'm sorry.
What are you doing there?
Nobody's reading Countdown. It doesn't matter.
No one understands what it is after.
It's the ride. It doesn't matter what the ending is.
So why,
it's the ride.
Why are we talking about it?
Because finally something happened in Countdown that I felt as if had some impact to the story. When they started Countdown, we saw a bunch of teasers that, like, it was the Ray Palmer thing, it was the Mary Marvel thing, it was the Darkseid thing, and there's been a lot of dicking around. For a lot of...
I know, that's why I stopped reading it.
Right, I know. So it was good to see finally some movement happen. You know, some real kind of progress in the story.
Which is funny because the other stuff is happening in other books.
Yes. Why do they need Ray Palmer?
He's awesome.
But I know, like, they're searching for him. Is he the key to something?
Yes,
like,
he's the key. We don't know what.
Because the monitor wants him because he represents... The monitors want to go around and take anybody who doesn't belong on their planet and kill them.
Okay.
And so he is on the wrong planet. And so that's why the monitor wants it. So but what he found while on that planet, that is, I assume, what's going on. That's what makes it interesting.
So
whatever the other,
we assure you that eventually it will be interesting. There, you've read 32 of these
and
so far.
Has a great cover.
It does have a great cover.
Kershaw. Kershaw. Well, Kershaw is great. Why are you reading? Is he on something? He's doing something, right? Thank you.
Teen Titans Year One. For those of you without a microphone.
Yeah, that's going to be really good. Anyway, although no, I saw the ad for it. It looked really bad. Anyway, nonetheless. I just thought it meant something, and so I thought it was important to mention Countdown because it actually had carried meaning. So.
Proof number three. We recently discovered Proof.
And it shoved in our faces, more like.
Proof is a story of a Bigfoot secret agent who hunts down other anomalous creatures of myth.
Cryptozoology.
Yeah. And you're on this, too.
I got on the Proof bandwagon after hearing Tom at Around Comics and you talk about it nicely.
I read the first two together, which... What?
Go ahead.
I read the first two together, which I think probably helped more because what's interesting about Proof is it's really half a comic. It's kind of like Countdown to Adventure, where there's a main story that goes for half the book and there's a backup story that tells events happening concurrently to the main story.
Do you read the second half, though?
Yes.
I do not read the second
half. Well, that's because the second half of this is good.
Oh, okay.
And basically right now they're hunting a chupacabra. Not a lot's happened.
That's like the it creature of the moment now.
Yeah, a lot of people like the chupacabra.
I think there's a Fantastic Four issue that came out this week.
Really?
Yeah, it's a special written by Tom Balin, and it has something to do with the chupacabra.
Was there a Spanish version of that?
Yeah,
the Isla de Muerte.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't speak that.
It's great art, though.
Yeah, and it came out in Spanish, too, I think.
See.
It did, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Anyway, nonetheless. I think Proof is. I was really impressed with Proof. I recently got the first.
That
two
was
issues.
Exceptional crowd participation.
Yeah,
by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Big Yanks. Yeah, all right. So, I love that. That's good. I think Proof, like Paxorana, is. I'm really liking what Image has been doing these days.
They've got a really diverse.
Very recently, they've got a couple of series that are starting that are not the typical kind of comic book, and like this is very. I mean, it's kind of X-Files-y. It's kind of mystery, but it's got cryptozoology.
Also, stylistically, it's somewhat similar to Pax Romana, and he throws in these constant like facts,
cryptoids,
which is something that he does in Pax Romana, where you can explain what's going on without having to fit into the story. It's kind of a cheat, but it's also.
He did that nightly news. And what was great nightly news is when Hickman was like, read this or don't read it, it doesn't matter. It's just here. But here it works, it's in a little better, it's a little more standard comic. But I really like the characters, I like the organization, and it's like, at the end of reading the first three issues, I want to know more about this organization and what they investigate and all that stuff. So.
My problem is I like a little bit more story per issue, because it's broken up in so much.
But I like the broken up thing. I like having the two stories, mm-hmm. Because the two stories are always linked. So,
right, well, they're linked, but it's at the same time you finish the first one, you're like, oh, I want more.
Right. Well, then,
that's good, that's better than the opposite, I suppose.
Right, no, absolutely.
Exactly.
Hey, Josh, you want to come back into the show?
I would love to. I'm going to do my best not to blow this book, because I think it was one of the better books that I read this week. It was Ultimate Spider-Man 117. That's no surprise. Every time there's an Ultimate Spider-Man issue, there's usually something worthy in it to mention. I just thought this one was basically there's been the big Spider-Man, S.H.I.E.L.D., Green Goblin fight going on for several months. And this is sort of the culmination of it. I think there's going to be one more part to it. This book was real good.
This is it. This is the finale.
Well, there's got to be stuff.
No, Spider-Man has amazing friends next time.
All right, well.
Over.
Well, there's something to work out in it. Basically, a lot of stuff happens in this book that I was like, oh my god, I can't believe they did that. And if you really look at the panels and the pages where that stuff is happening, I thought they were really elegantly done.
I think it just shows how strong Immonen is and why, I'm so surprised that this changeover from Bagley to Immonen has been, I can't pronounce his name, Immonen, has been so, not smooth, but so effortless.
Yeah, when you're looking at the pages near the end where the sort of fight is at its apex, just look at it, at the combination of the pictures and the sound effects and everything working together in concert to sort of see what happens, and it really, like, it makes, it uses sound effects in a way that you usually ignore them. Usually, like, ooh, crack, boom, big deal. Like, there's a couple of things where they really matter in this one. Only problem that I have is there's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who seems to have a lot to do with the story at the end of it, and it's Carol Danvers, but you can't tell. Because she's in the same outfit as all the others. They're in the Hulkbuster armor. And I need a name on there, a ponytail, just something.
She should have taken the helmet off.
Yeah.
Because I had that same thought. I was like, I was really shocked because something big happens at the end. We're not going to spoil this one. But the last couple of pages,
are Peter dealing with that, which we haven't, which we don't typically really see. Like, the big fight happens, this really crappy kind of thing happens, or something happens, and then they just kind of move on. It was interesting to see that it's getting to him kind of emotionally, because he's just a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that little touch, although...
He's this close to getting a trench coat and a shotgun. I mean, the kid's awful. Was that in politics? There's several coats out there, actually. Anyway.
So, but yeah, Ultimate Spider-Man, I mean, it's hard pressed to find a bad Ultimate Spider-Man issue.
Nope.
So,
is there anybody reading Crime Bible besides Josh and I? Yeah, him.
Crime? No. 52 Aftermath, Crime Bible, Five Lessons of Blood.
Is it because of the title? Anyone? No?
Now, let me ask you, if there was a title that was called The Question, written by Greg Rucka, would people have looked it up? Well, okay, so that's one more sale.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, the thing is that there's a whole bunch of books that with the 52 Aftermath banner, and I think it's too heavy.
Yeah.
It's like, I heard good things.
Well, you would have no idea that this is a question book. It is about the question.
You know what's really funny is I heard good things about Arena. I've heard good things about this book. I've heard good things about the other one.
I don't know what any of those are, though. I wouldn't know what this one is.
Right.
This is a question book written by Greg Rucka. In the middle of this, it's Gotham Central again.
And how excited did you get?
I was so excited. I was like... Oh, I read five pages of Gotham Central in the middle of this book, and it was Gotham Central with Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. This was just basically Renee comes back to Gotham, and she's finding the mystery of the Crime Bible and whatever. This should be the first arc in the Question ongoing series, I guess.
Which is just an easy sell.
Maybe, apparently not.
Do a question book by Rucka, that would sell. Especially coming off of 52.
Right.
Yeah.
Batwoman is in this, and despite all odds, she's not a bad character. She's kind of interesting. In the book, they seem to have gotten rid of the heels. She's just got boots.
This series has taken a big leap from the first issue, which is really incomprehensible.
Yep. It's been really good. I think
also missed up. So, you know, you want your first issue to be as clear as possible. But the second and third one have been really good.
I mean, it's a real shame because I hope the failure of this series doesn't then mean we don't get a Question series.
I haven't seen the sales figures.
Yeah.
I don't know, but just anecdotally, nobody talks about it. Nobody, this is my favorite thing coming out of 52 so far. This was great.
You like Iron Man.
I do.
Your favorite characters, and you mentioned in the show you don't read a regular book.
I do not.
So someone... challenged you. Was it an email we got?
I love it when you're challenged. If you ever want to challenge us, just do it.
We'll do it any time. Yeah.
All we need is
someone challenged you to read the regular book.
Right.
You did.
Basically, somewhere on the post after the Ultimate Iron Man was pick of the week, somebody said, the regular Iron Man book is good. And I was like, shut up. And they were like, no, it really is. And so I actually, the cover caught my eye this week.
It was a great cover.
And it's basically like a half-dressed Iron Man. It's sort of painted in realistic style. And so I just looked in it to see if it was something I could jump on. So I read the previously page, and it didn't say it was like part 3 of 8 or anything like that. And
I love when Tony Stark cries.
Yeah, this was great. Written by Daniel and Charles Knopf. I'll get a letter from Joe Casey about that. He hates it when I mispronounce things.
Butch Geist on pencils?
Yeah, Butch Geist on pencils.
Why aren't I reading this?
I don't know. So
really
I picked it up and I read through it. The art style, with this kind of coloring, Butch Geist's work looks really nice. Basically, Tony Stark is... I don't see how this fits in with anything.
Doesn't fit
in
anything else.
Because Tony Stark has hit the road on a obsessive quest for the Mandarin, who's posing as a tech scientist, like a corporate tech scientist. And they have to, they're fighting their epic fight, and he's investigating a mystery, and...
What are they pointing at? Butch Geist inked Captain America.
Really?
Yeah. I remember I saw that earlier.
Apparently he's got a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah, he's great.
Anyway, so, at the end of it, basically, he gets the old armor on. Like the 1980s.
The classic.
Yeah, the classic armor. And there's a big fight, and Doc Samson shows up, and I love it when Doc Samson shows up in a book. Apparently he's a Steelers fan. There's a whole scene about that. Anyways, this is the first I've read of this. This is number 24 in the series, Iron Man, Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it was actually really good.
So are you on board?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep buying this, at least until it starts to suck.
Are you going to go back?
Nope.
Not buy a trade?
Nah, probably not.
So you don't like it that much?
No. No. But there's other trades I know
of. Did you like Dan Dare number 2?
I love Dan Dare number 2.
It was really good.
It was better than Dan Dare number 1, which in the same way that like we talked about the circle. Dan Dare, you picked that first issue, and I said, well, it was pretty good. We don't know what's going to happen. This was like, oh, it was Garth Ennis writing a military book. It was everything that I could want.
It's a sci-fi military book, which is awesome. Yeah.
Little green aliens and everything.
Yeah.
That's basically.
It was just a big improvement. I mean, one was great. One was Pick of the Week. Two was even better than one.
Except it wasn't a flash in the pan.
No.
Awesome.
Appears not to be.
Yay!
And that's all of the books that we will ruin for you this week.
Yeah, sorry.
There's about 40 others.
Blame Diamond. It's not our fault.
It's true. Or Christmas. Blame Christmas.
Blame Santa. Okay, anyway, so, so that was this week in books. It was a good way to end the year, I think.
It was a strong week, I thought.
Hurt my wallet. But anyway, so on to, we got a couple of emails that we just wanted to respond to. Our first email comes from Morgan in Oklahoma. Who says, hey, I live in a rural community. It's unfortunate. And was wondering what would be the best...
What's with you today?
I don't like the rural.
Is anyone else who can...
He's an urban elitist.
I am. Anyway, Morgan was wondering if there was... Now, this kind of threw me off. There's more than...
Fix the word internally.
What was wondering what would be the best way to break into comics? Not working in comics, but buying comics. Morgan's about an hour away from the city, so it's not exactly a practical drive there every week to pick up the books. Do we recommend buying from the internet? If so, where? Also, what's a good comic to pick up? I had a chance to get the first three volumes of the trade paperback of Runaways, and I loved it. What would you suggest to a 16-year-old girl who doesn't like gushy stuff? I'm willing to get my hands dirty and figure things out as I go along, but is there anything that has a good jumping-on point right now, or is just plain awesome? I've always had a fascination with the X-Men, and I like manga. I don't exactly classify myself as a huge Marvel fan, though, because I like several DC characters too, like Robin and the Flash. So any suggestion would be helpful.
You would suggest she move out of a rural community.
I would suggest she moves to Chicago, stat.
She's 16.
Well, she couldn't be emancipated.
Hit the road like punk chicks from the 70s.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no need.
That's not a tragic story waiting
to happen.
Well,
a slim chance she could become Susie, but maybe not.
So if you can't, if you don't have a good comic store in your town, buying online is viable.
There's lots of good places.
DCBS is a good one for monthly ones. DCBS.com, In Stock Trades. I don't know. Amazon.
Start a store.
Yeah, go to ifanboy.com/store and buy whatever you need. So buying online you can do, or you can whatever. So
if you want to know what to get, I mean, we've had a ton of books that we said are at a good place to jump on.
Try Green Lantern.
Green Lantern, even Iron Man, that was a good place if you like what's going on. I think this is a really good place to start reading all the Avengers books. I think whatever the next Avengers book is going to come out is going to be the start of the next Skrull thing. Am I right?
I know. Avengers is great. The Secret Invasion stuff.
Spider-Man apparently will be a really good place to start.
If she hasn't read it, Morgan, I suggest you go look up the Young Avengers trades. If you like Runaways, you might like that. Alan Heinberg wrote them, kind of teen heroes.
X-Men First Class.
X-Men First Class, yeah.
You can jump on anywhere there.
Yeah, exactly.
The upcoming Teen Titans Year One by Charles Burton.
Yeah. So,
call back.
So good luck, Morgan. Let us know how it works out.
All right, Mark writes and says, isn't it about time the iFanboy Collective checked out the Galaxy's Greatest Comic Book 2000 AD? It's going to throw a real purple patch at the moment, but some fantastic stories and jaw-dropping art. You can now download the official PDF for $2.99 every week with Quick Wheel. I don't know what that is. This comic produced Alan Moore, Grant Morrison, Kevin O'Neill, Brian Bolland, Andy Diggle, Jock, Frank Whiteley, just name a few. Try it, why not?
Well, it's funny they should write that, because I was on the 2000 AD message boards about a week or so ago, and they were talking about us and how us dumb Yanks don't... No offense, being Yanks. They meant Yanks like Americans.
You don't mean us. You mean the country?
Us, iFanboy, us.
Oh.
Us, we're a bunch of dumb...
talk about us?
Yeah, a bunch of dumb Yanks who wouldn't know a good comic book if it slapped them in the face, even though it's not sized correctly. Because 2000 AD is, like, bigger. So I was just like, damn them. So combination of a couple things. If you hadn't heard the news, 2000 AD is going to be offering their issues online. And one of the problems with 2000 AD in America is that, it's published in England and it takes weeks for us to get it. Diamond sells it, but it's always way behind. So now you can actually download a PDF and read it the week it comes out. So that's cool. That's a very cool thing for the same price. But also, the store I shop in, because I don't live here, carries it from Diamond, so I've started picking it up. I started reading it. It is indeed good. It's very kind of sci-fi, but
it's in a purple patch at the moment.
I don't understand a purple patch.
Is it a coloring thing?
I don't know.
Or think it's a Briticism.
Anyway.
They're so sick of that.
So,
doing it again.
But 2000 AD has brought a lot of great talent to the comic industry, so I'm going to start reading it, and so I won't give them any excuse to make fun of us other than...
They don't need any of it.
Yeah. So, excellent. Do you want to do this last one, or do you want to skip it?
Let's skip that one.
All right. So that was our email. So if you have any questions and you want to send us an email, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. We'd love to hear from you.
We usually cut that part out.
Yeah. Anyway. So real quickly before we move on, just want to mention Netflix, who is one of our other great sponsors. If you're not using Netflix, you're missing out. A great DVD rental service on the internet.
They have over 75,000 titles, no late fees, free shipping. They mail you the DVD, you watch it, mail it back. And they have plans starting for $4.99. And if you sign up now, you get a 2-free-week trial. So go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy and sign up, and we'd appreciate it. So.
Normally, this is where we do our voicemails, but that's a little awkward in live setting.
Yeah.
So does anyone here want to ask a question? If you do, you come up to the microphone.
It's your chance to be on podcast. It's always kind of weird to put people on the spot like that. I should have warned them in the beginning of the show. But, hey, we'll take any questions. Comics, relationships, life, job advice.
All right, we got one here. Say your name or your
problem. God, I hope it's about his job.
So I've got this manager who's just biting my ass.
So I need more stationery. Where can I get it? I'm Gabriel from Brooklyn. Me and my friends just recently started our own podcast. It's called Strangers with Comics.
www.strangerswithcomics.com.
And we're just wondering, like, what type of advice would you give people when nowadays there seems to be, like, more people starting new podcasts? What would you guys tell us, newbies, since you guys are, like, already into the hundreds?
Yeah, 113. Thank you. There are a lot of good podcasts out there. A lot of them are starting as well. The best thing, I think, what we've learned is just consistency. Put out a show, pick a schedule, and stick to it.
Also, that's very true.
Well, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, that's the most important thing of all.
Pick what you're going to do and do that thing.
No, I mean, like, seriously,
like... like Spinal Tap.
No.
What I mean is there are... Go to iTunes and search comic books, and you're going to get 150 comic book podcasts, if not more. So if you can find a thing that you do that nobody else is doing, or... you know, but a lot of times people will be like, well, we do some of this and some of that and sort of whatever. And that works for some of them, but really, like, if you, like, there's people who do, we do an X-Men podcast or we do something like that. If you have a niche that doesn't exist yet, go after that kind of thing. And you know, if it's early, you can certainly experiment with stuff and you'll find stuff that starts to work. And then if you start getting feedback from that, you'll know it.
Yeah, but ultimately have fun doing it. If you have fun doing it, it will show.
Absolutely.
And people will find it.
Technical prowess has almost nothing to do with it.
Well, a little bit. I was going to say, also, I don't know what service you're using or anything like that, but putting keywords in your RSS feed, that's the best way to get results in iTunes and stuff like that. So make sure you've got detailed keywords. Just put every freaking word you can think of. Comics, comic books, graphic novels, trade paperbacks, anything someone might search for.
Hang out on other communities.
Yeah.
Like if you go to places where people are message boards, there's our message boards, there's Jinx World, there's... I'd like Sanders Rama, but I don't think that'll help.
CBR's got a great forum. Just
right.
Go pick your podcast. Tell people, hey,
but,
check
you
it
know,
out.
In those, you have to actually kind of be parts of the communities because people will drop in and be like, we have a podcast, come listen to us, and you never hear from them again. So, you know, get involved with some of the comic book communities, and that will, you'll see that grow from there. It'll mushroom.
So, and we'll link to your show. So, awesome. Anybody else have any questions? Anything. Get a pin. Get a pin no matter what. So. Right. Oh, okay. Excellent.
Person who looks like Chris Starris without my glasses on.
Sanchez from Queens.
Sanchez!
I was wondering, since you betrayed the rest of them to read Invincible in singles, do you regret the decision at all?
Not at all, actually. And they actually were teasing me the other night because they're saying, ever since I moved from reading Invincible and Trade to Issues a few months ago, and they're saying, I haven't talked about it, I haven't picked it, we haven't been on the show, because it really hasn't been that great. I mean, it's been great, I mean, it's consistently good, but I am reading in Issues, I don't regret it, it's great, it reads great in Trades, reads great in Issues as well, and actually, issue 50 is coming up soon, it's going to be kind of big, I think, and I'll be reading about it before they read about it, because they're going to have to wait for the trade, so.
You're dead to us.
I'm sorry.
Seriously.
We're going to talk to you after the show.
All right.
Get an HR guy for you.
Severance. Awesome. All right, cool. So if anybody has any other questions, we'll wrap this sucker up. All right, so normally if you want to call our voicemail line, you can call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 326-2697. And thank you to the folks who asked questions. We appreciate it. All right, cool. So this is our last show of 2007. It is going to be published. Yeah, it's published on Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's been a good year, I think, for comics.
Yep.
But I think ultimately it's been a fun year doing iFanboy. So we want to just thank everybody who listens, who goes to iFanboy.com, posts on our forum, posts on the site, comes to our live shows. Really appreciate it. And
yeah, I mean, to the guy who was asking about how to do a podcast earlier, like, the people coming and responding really are the ones who keep you from doing it all the time. And that's really, like, that's a huge part. So... everybody here who showed up, everybody who's listening, all the people who participate in the communities, we owe you just as much as, you know.
We'd be nothing without you guys, so we really thank you. So,
We're still nothing.
And yeah, that's sad. And hopefully
they all get severance too.
All right, severance for everybody.
Or pin.
And hopefully 2008 will be just as fun, if not more. So I know we got I know we always say this, but we got a lot of stuff lined up for 2008. So stay tuned.
A second video show.
No.
The first one's hard enough.
Yeah, we're not going
to
do that.
And so speaking of which, the first thing that we have to offer is if you're downloading the show, if you go back and look on the feed, or for those in the audience, if you go look on our feed on Sunday, we published our 2007 year in review all media event.
Hoo-ha.
So on that podcast, we talked about movies, music, TV, video games,
IPTV,
and comics. There you go.
Because we hadn't covered that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a 2 hour plus epic. So you got nothing to do this week, you can listen to that. So just go back onto the feed and download that directly, or go to ifanboy.com, you can download it directly. But that was a lot of fun to do.
And long.
It was long.
It's a behemoth.
If you are looking to do your post-holiday shopping, which I've been doing, and I assume other people
that's
as well.
My favorite part of the holidays is going to the store and getting all the things you didn't get, like the omnibuses, because I didn't get one.
That's true.
It's very upset. I got Fantastic Four Volume 1 last year. I was counting on it. I didn't get it. So
I'm sorry.
Maybe you didn't drop a strong enough hint.
I put it on my wish list. Anyway, fair.
Well, you're welcome for your other gifts, though.
I am. Thank you for those.
Frick. You can go to ifanboy.com/store. We've got a link there for Amazon. You can search through there, or you can look at the books we talk about every week on the video show, as well as our other personal media picks.
Yes, ifanboy.com is our website where we post these shows and things like that, but we also do blog posts and discussion things and the Pick of the Week podcast, and there's all sorts of good stuff on there, so go there.
Please. And also, if you go there every Saturday, you can check out our video show, the aforementioned video show. And it's also at revision3.com/ifanboy. The show that came out this past week was our argument about continuity.
You're still wrong, by the way.
F you. And
for those of you who are here, you will not have seen this. Yeah, we're acting as if it's the future. So now you know what the show is.
So if you tune in tomorrow or yesterday, depending on anyway. It's about kind of neat. But then next week, next Saturday, we got Josh's favorite topic, Preacher.
We did the Preacher show that we promised. So yeah. This is basically 20 minutes of us going, "This is so cool!"
Man! It was a little gushy.
It was, totally.
Yeah, but so. Check it out.
And if you're like Ron, you're wearing your iFanboy shirt under your sweater. Thank you. If not, you can go to jinx.com/iFanboy. You can buy an iFanboy t-shirt. Come on, take it off slowly for the people.
Dance, boy.
This isn't Rick's. All right,
now they got dollars for you.
You just crossed through the looking glass.
So if you buy a t-shirt at jinx.com/ifanboy, send us a picture. Somebody sent us a really cool picture.
We got a lot of great pictures. Actually, I threw down the challenge, the gauntlet, for people to send in holiday pictures of them with their family in an iFanboy t-shirt, and a bunch of people did, or two people did.
Did you see the one of the guy who sent them the flaming Jedi sword?
I did see a dude at a Star Wars-themed holiday party, and he was sporting his lightsaber in an iFanboy shirt.
It was pretty awesome.
It was pretty cool. So thank you. Keep the photos coming in. And be sure to go to jinx.com and upload them on there so people can see that you like us.
And if you do that, they send you stickers.
Yes, they do.
Not a family stickers.
Nice people. Yeah. I have their sticker.
I got it.
All right, anyway.
Something about the email, contact@fanboy.com.
Thank you. And the voicemail at 1-888-326-2697.
You just said that a minute ago.
And finally, if you like the internet, you can go to MySpace, ComicSpace, Verve, Facebook, and Twitter, and be our friend and read all about us.
Yeah, if you like the show... Don't know why you would. go to iTunes and leave a review for this show or for the video show, and you can help spread the word through that, or you can tell your friends and your family.
Yeah.
Or the guy at Rick's.
Yeah.
I tell him every time he tries to hand me a flyer, I say, no, but iFanboy.
So in case you're not here or don't know what he's talking about, Rick's is a strip club. I'd say 40 feet back that way.
It's a cabaret and steakhouse.
It's a cabaret and steakhouse.
Yeah, because you want to combine those two things.
Yeah. So I'm eating in here. Hang on.
Can you pass the salt, please?
Excuse me, I'm in the middle of a meal.
Move!
I would not like
TV.
I would not like a dance, but I don't have any ketchup. And I gotta tell you.
Can I buy you some onion rings?
Because gassy food and lap dance go together.
Anyway, so thank you again, everybody. Give yourselves a round of applause for coming out. Thank you. And...